This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, if I was to ask you to name a profession that could be crucial to our efforts to save the planet, which profession would you think of? Well, scientists, almost certainly. Engineers, I'm sure, would be up there. Maybe even politicians. But advertising professionals? Well, they wouldn't be on my list. But I've been reading a new book co-authored by local advertising professional Matt Bourne, and I'm beginning to be won round to the idea that actually their role is a really important one. The book is simply called Sustainable Advertising, and it's written by Matt Bourne and Sebastian Munden, both advertising professionals with many years of experience in the industry. I spoke to Matt and I began by asking him to explain why he saw advertising as a key element in our journey to sustainability.
Thanks, Amanda. And I'm going to give you two reasons. One is the positive reason and one is the negative reason, if you like. I'll start with the negative. Our industry, advertising, it takes quite a lot of pressure already about promoting things which are contributing to climate change and really sort of pressurizing the industry to change that. So I think we're already aware that the role of advertising to this point in a consumer society has generated jobs, has promoted competition and innovation, but has also helped create the circumstances that we're now in. So that's a reason we've got to do something about this. But when you flip that and you say, well, actually, what we've got here is a situation where there are literally thousands and thousands of nudges and messages that every single day, you know, across the UK and across the planet, people see, it is more than possible to help people make better decisions around something that they're looking to buy, something that they might need, something that they're thinking about eating, something that they're thinking about wearing. If you think about all the sustainable alternatives that are coming through, imagine if every single one of those nudges is helping people make a better decision. And that's really what this book is about.
Indeed. From what you said there, you've admitted that you think that perhaps advertising was part of the problem that's kind of got us to a very consumerist society where we've been persuaded that we need so many things. It's going to need a big 360 turn, isn't it, to get us into the situation where we can trust advertising to kind of take us in the other direction.
Yes, but I would say that advertising is part of an economy that has been built on essentially, you know, economy that, if you think, has been built on an industrial revolution, right, which has been built predominantly on fossil fuel. And advertising has always been about helping a business promote its product or its service versus other businesses and supporting competition. And it helps support jobs, you know, it essentially drives an economy. So if what we need to do is to shift our economy to a non-carbon-based, non-fossil fuel-based economy with all of the thinking that's involved in that, a sustainable economy, one that has circular business models within, we're going to need advertising to do that and to do that at absolute pace in every part of the economy. I think a really good example of that, you know, is if you look at France, for example. France has started to ban internal short-haul flights. So it said, you know, a sub 2 hour flight, there are certain routes now that you can't do by planes. You're going to need to do it by train. And what you see in France is an uplift in the advertising of train travel and the appeal of train travel and traveling by train on those journeys. That's just one small example. But if you can scale that, and really that's what we're saying, the urgency of the situation is such that we have to scale it.
Indeed. Within your book, you've included a whole chapter, really very early on in your book, on greenwashing. And I just wondered if you could explain to us why you give it so much importance, and in particular, why you wanted to provide advice for children and young people to spot greenwashing.
Where I work is the trade body for the UK advertising industry, and that's nearly a century old. And the value of the trade body is all about responsible advertising. So, and it's built on the premise that advertising should be legal, decent, honest, and truthful. And that's been a mantra since the 1950s. So any advertising which isn't that is a problem and something that we do not want to see. And particularly when it comes to the urgency of the situation around climate change, the desire for businesses to talk about the benefits, the sustainability benefits of whatever it is that they're offering, those claims, we describe it as making environmental claims, they have to be legal, decent, honest, and truthful. And in particular for young people who are being exposed to all kinds of advertising, particularly on the social media platforms that have come through in the last sort of 10, 15, 20 years, it's really important, A, that they can recognise what an advert is and understand that someone is being paid to promote that, and B, that they can see whether or not that is actually legal, decent, honest, or truthful. And if it's not, understand, A, you know, how you reject it, B, how you complain about it. And because we're going to see, I think, we're going to see more and more adverts that probably make some kind of sustainability claim, some kind of environmental claim. And really, that, you know, we put it up chapter two in the book, which is this industry, if it's going to be successful, cannot greenwash. It cannot, because the whole credibility of what businesses are trying to do and what they're trying to create with a shift to a more sustainable way of life has to be based in fact, has to be based in the evidence. I think one of the biggest challenges for businesses, large and small, is that year by year, the climate science, we're getting more and more aware of the climate science, and the language is consistently changing and consistently developing. And so within advertising, I think we have a role to really understand the words that we use and to be really clear about those. You know, and I think there are all sorts of challenges with that. In France, for example, it's not legal to use the term net zero. And that's possibly something that's going to be introduced across the EU. Because in the French way of thinking, there is no such thing as net zero. Human beings breathe out carbon dioxide. We are not net zero. So in a very literal sort of French way, nothing can be net zero. So we're still in this, I mean, and it's happening so fast, but we're in this phase where we have to be really careful, confident about the language that we use, be really transparent about it. And the best advertising is advertising which, you know, is genuine, is authentic, and that you can trust.
Indeed, I think we can all agree with that. Now, some things I was quite surprised to see included in your book was a section about awards. Now, we've recently got excited about the Oscars. Can you tell us why you think awards need to change? And I just wondered what you thought about the idea of having an Oscar for the most sustainable film.
I love that thought. I mean, our industry, and I think it's like many industries, the reputation of the players within it, particularly the ad agencies, is built on whether or not they are the award-winning ad agencies. So it's a fundamental part of the competition within the industry. The best agencies win the best awards. But we think that if you're talking about advertising in a time of climate change, then the way you evaluate the work has to change. Because previously, it would be based on sales, market share, brand awareness, you know, that sort of competitive share. But what we're saying is that's all well and good, but what we'd like to see alongside it are sustainability metrics. How much carbon are you saving? How much landfill are you saving? How much water are you stop being wasted? How much recycling behavior or reusing behavior have you increased as a result of this campaign? Because if we put the two together, sustainability metrics and the advertising metrics, then that's what success will look like. And so that's why we're saying, let's redefine what award-winning truly is. So I think when it comes to film, I mean, you know, probably the film that springs to mind most that caused the fuss around climate change was Don't Look Up a few years back. I think within film, there's a huge conversation going on about how you make films to reduce the environmental impact while you make them. So there's a lot of work going on about reusing sets, borrowing sets, maybe donating sets afterwards. And there's an awful lot of work going on in virtual production as well. Once you go into the world of virtual production, I mean, that's fascinating. You know, if it could be powered by renewable energy, you're storing it sensibly, you know, you really can make quite a difference in terms of the impact of the way you make film.
Well, yes. So perhaps that more sustainable film might be somewhere down the tracks, but perhaps something to look forward to. Now, we all do like a little bit of magic, and you talk in the book about the magic ingredients to foster sustainable behaviour change. Now, you've acknowledged in the book that technology itself isn't going to be enough to combat climate change. We're actually going to have to start doing things different. So I wondered if you could tell us a little bit about what you think those magic ingredients are.
Absolutely. Well, we started by sort of saying, right, okay, what's happened in climate change advertising over the last 20, 30 years? And why hasn't that worked? Why aren't we in a situation where the mass public have changed their behaviour? And when you dig into different studies, and we spoke with experts, so the Behaviour Insights team, you know, that advise the UK government, and we spoke with the NYU Stern, you know, over in New York, and essentially negative framing, or you know, scary framing of things, tends to get a negative reaction from people. There's almost like an ostrich effect where people will put their head in the sand. It's too scary. I don't know what to do about it. I'll just carry on doing what I'm doing. And actually, when you really go into the sort of magic ingredients, a positive framing is really important. And a positive framing around the personal benefits to you as an individual, or perhaps even more importantly, to you, your family, people that are close to you, the area that's close to you, you will get a better response. And that also, it may not necessarily need to say, because this is better for climate change. Actually, when it comes down to it, the things that drive people the most towards a significant behavior change will be the price. It will be the convenience of it, the access to it. And there are also moments in your life, in our lifetimes, where the intervention can really have a big impact. So say you're moving house, that's a moment where you can make that intervention. Say you're changing your car, that's a moment where you make that intervention. So I think it is about positive framing. That was my main takeout.
So just thinking about that, you must look at the way that we communicate climate change as a society, whether that's governments or whether that's councils or whether that's pressure groups. And you must think that we're doing it really quite badly. I just wondered what you think the mistakes that we're making are.
I worry that it's polemic, but that, you know, that's probably a broader conversation. I worry that it's a bit, you know, sort of right, wrong. I worry that it's not really allowed to be talking around, you know, the positive benefits, the framing of that. And I think there is a huge opportunity to do that. Much of the sustainability story is about new jobs, more fulfilling jobs, better lifestyles, better health benefits, all of the things that come through the great kind of products and services that are coming through that are more sustainable. But I think we have to, this is why I think there's a job with this book and what we're trying to do, which is to create a space where we can talk positively about what can be done. Because the NGO voices rightly are, you know, they're angry voices and they're protest voices. And then when I look at the political voices, they're either, and I'll put the Green Party to one side, they're either silent or they're scared about cost and it's being tied up in a cost of living and pressures with, you know, the sort of the budget side of things, or we've got some very, you know, odd and strange voices on the fringe that are almost kind of denying it or trying to slow the whole thing down.
Indeed. So just to finish off, Matt, I just wondered if you could just tell me what you think about this. I mean, if you're a young person who's passionate about the environment, would you think that they should consider a career in advertising?
I think if they love creativity, if they love telling stories, you know, whether that's through words, through images, through film, and they want to find a way of using those skills to essentially help build a better future, a better planet, they could find very enjoyable and very rewarding careers working on behalf of businesses that are bringing those products and services through. And that for me, when I interview people for the book, I met people who were leaving the industry because they'd been part of what advertising was, if you like, and they had the problems associated with that. But then I met people who were making advertising campaigns that are helping people live more sustainably. And they were doing it in ways that was sustainable. And they were some of the sort of most fulfilled, happy people that I've met. And I think that's the sweet spot.
Well, that sounds like a very positive message. Matt, could you just tell us if we'd like to read more, if we'd like to read a copy of your and Sebastian's book, where can we get it from?
So it's online. It's called Sustainable Advertising. You can find it at the Kogan Page website. You can also find it at your classic sort of online book retailers as well. But the KoganPage.com, if you search on Sustainable Advertising, it'll be there.
Brilliant. Matt, thank you very much indeed for telling us about that.
Thank you.
I'll pop the details of Matt's book into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. And I just wondered what you thought about the way that we communicate the issue of climate change. Do share your thoughts with me. Via email, I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com or look out for Environment Matters on Mix92.6 on Twitter and on Facebook. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.